Amen, amen, amen. Church, how good it is to be with you on this Easter morning. My name is Andy Maddock. I am blessed to be the lead pastor here. Oftentimes, when we come to the Easter experience, we neglect to honor that sometimes we bring grief with us before we can see the resurrection. I often start my sermons in prayer, and this morning I want to do that by naming one of our own. Liz Kebschel passed away this morning. Liz took a fall on Friday night and then was surrounded by family over the course of the last day and a half. I think her daughter Tanya put it best when she said, "There's no better day to meet the Lord than Easter Sunday." And so we hold Liz, we hold Lowell, we hold Tanya Chrislew and their extended families in tenderness this morning and offer God thanks and praise. But we also worship a healing and sustaining Redeemer. And one of the things I know to be true is that a friend to our church and a member of our lead team, Doug Wirtz, is watching us with his lovely bride, Danielle, this morning from Cedars-Sinai. Doug had a successful lung transplant about 10 days ago and is thriving and doing well. So blessings to you. With the complexity of life before us, and no doubt with joys and concerns of your own, would you join me in a moment of prayer as we center ourselves? Gracious and ever-loving God, in whom we all live and move and have our being, we come before you in this hour for a time of celebration, yes, a time of glory, a time of praise, surrounded by song and scripture, by the fellowship of good people, and the best story we have to tell of the resurrection of your Son. So it's in His name that we gather this morning. We invoke His power and His presence in our midst that we might be faithfully formed into His people in service and in ministry to the world. Meet us, we ask, O God, in this time. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who is our strength and the source of all salvation. Amen. In my house, there is a tradition. It's passed on to our kids, but we certainly inherited it from our fathers. My Tom and Camille's Tom always greeted us on Easter morning the same way. Alleluia, He is risen, to which the response is, He is risen indeed. It is a proclamation of our hallelujahs and praise, an affirmation of the gospel truth on any Easter morning, and the expectation that whoever hears that is going to offer their punctuation mark on the story. Indeed, He is risen. May it be so. Yes, it is. So texts get exchanged with this interchange. Phone calls are made with this interchange. For our families, it's the right way to come into Easter. And so throughout this morning, that'll be our spirit and our energy. And you may hear again from your pastor, "Alleluia, He is risen." You guys are all set for worship today. Throughout the last 6 weeks, we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke on a journey to the cross and the resurrection. We called it On the Road with Jesus, about these encounters that happened from Transfiguration up in Galilee down to Jerusalem for the Holy Week and crucifixion. And we continue our story in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, we'll do that for the rest of the month. The next 4 weeks, I'll be preaching on the resurrection story from the Gospel of Luke. Come back and join us at 9 and 10:30. You already heard about Songs of Soul that's joining us next week in worship. And so this morning, following that path as it leads us, we come to a resurrection story in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I want to share 6 verses from that. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them, and in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, He is risen." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And on this Easter Sunday, alleluia, He is risen. You guys are fantastic. This is a story about glory, about celebration, about the kind of music that you have already heard and will continue to hear around our celebration of the risen Christ this morning. Easter finds a way to share this triumphant news that Jesus is alive and has not been claimed by death. Everything we do tries to tell that story. The decorations of the flowers, a sign of life upon our cross, an institution of death, the trumpeting of our lilies, all of these things are intended to just smack us with a good news of Christ's resurrection. And the thing that I want to lean into just for a minute is that what happens for the experience of the women on that Easter morning might be different than where we are in our celebration, but it might be exactly where some of us are on any given Easter. And that's what they expected to find in the experience was not at all realized. What they thought they were going to see, what they imagined would be true, couldn't have been more off for them. You see, the Gospel of Luke tells us that these women bore witness to the crucifixion of Jesus. Just before it, in chapter 23, they had been there for his death, they had been there for the transfer of his body to Joseph of Arimathea, and they had watched him be laid in the tomb. In fact, the verse that immediately precedes the story of the resurrection says not what the disciples did, but what the women did. It says that they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. They recognized with a sense of urgency that Jesus had not been appropriately prepared for being entombed. There were things that were sacred to them that they needed to accomplish that had not been done. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. What I love about that is an emphasis that their faithfulness is not overwhelmed by their grief. Out of their brokenness, out of their anxiety, they take time to be obedient and to observe the Sabbath, a time of rest, something that was sacred at the time of Jesus, but had been sacred throughout the whole of the history of the Israelite people. Now, in following Jesus, they would have heard stories where Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for the man. They understood that he had a new sense of what God was doing in the kingdom when it came to Sabbath rules. But they needed that day of worship and rest. And when they showed up the tomb, they were expecting to find a stone. But instead, they did not find Jesus. They expected the stone to be right where it was left when they had last seen it. They showed up with their spices and they got there and things were radically different. And I think for them, a part of the anxiety is that the loss of expectation at Easter was big for the disciples. Because their loss was a sense that everything that Jesus was doing, that Jesus had accomplished, the healings, the feedings, the transformative word that they had borne witness to, was now gone. In fact, the sense that the Gospels give us is they didn't know quite what to do with themselves. The fishermen go back to fish. They hide in a room in Jerusalem. They wait and watch. The women don't know what else to do except to go and prepare the body. And out of that loss, out of that expectation, that longing that Jesus would have made such a difference in their lives as a Savior, as a teacher, but more than that, as the Messiah who would redeem the Israelite people, they were torn asunder. Their approach to Jesus on Easter was not one of trumpets and celebration, but one of a sense of lost expectation. But church, we need to hear that what we gain at Easter is a reminder that who Jesus is and what Jesus does is not captured by death and not surrendered to the grave. You see, it says that they were left with their wonder. While they were wondering about these things, suddenly two men in clothes with lightning were standing next to them. And in the midst of that wonder, we hear a word of hope. We hear a sense that our curiosity can be and is a place where God is at work. Let me say that again. Our curiosity is a place where God is at work. Now, curiosity and wonder are fantastic phrases, but we did a whole series that you could just substitute wholesale here and say our doubt, our skepticism, our struggle, our grief, our mourning is a place where God is at work. With the women are left with their wonder. Not only had they lost what was true of their past, but their present was a mess. It was then that God showed up and was at work in them. It was then that these angelic messengers were sent. They found themselves humbled. They bowed to the ground in fear. And the angels say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Alleluia, he is risen."
He is risen indeed.
Some of you had nodded off. It's okay. The choir's call time was 4:30 this morning. They've been up a long day already. Hope is risen at Easter. It's an activity of God. We don't just affirm in the church that Jesus rose as if it was something that he had done of his own superhero-like power. It's an activity of God where God moves into the experience of the created order and disrupts things that our lives might be different. Hope has risen at Easter, and it reframes everything that the women had heard, everything that they had known, their expectations, all of the teaching that Jesus had done for 3 years that they thought they had lost to death, that was somehow a part of their history, was now a part of their future, because he's not amongst the dead, he's amongst the living. He is not here, he is risen. That was a subtle one, and you were very good. I'm impressed. But let me say this, church, as we prepare to worship and then go out and share this story with the world. I told you what happens at the beginning of this verse, just before what the section we read. What happens immediately after in verse 9 is that these women who had gone to the tomb expecting one thing out of their grief, taking the perfumes and spices that they had prepared to anoint Jesus for death, they were left in their wonder and God met them there. They leave and go tell a story. They leave and go tell a story. And what I want you to hear is that the Gospel of Luke is the only one of the Gospels where they are not told to go and tell this story. They're not told, go and tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. No, it's a story that they have now within them that they can't help but tell. Easter has a way of moving triumphantly. It's why we surround ourselves with the trumpets, the flowers, the life of moving through our experience even when we don't expect it to. When they left the tomb, they went back and found the 11 and told them everything that they had seen and that had happened. Easter finds a way, friends. Hope has risen this day. It's the best story we tell. It's the best song that we sing. It's our triumphant claim that there is no nothing that separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because there was nothing that separated Jesus from the fullness of God's love. And so we go and tell, alleluia, he is risen. Join me in a moment of prayer, will you? Gracious, Holy One, we give you thanks with shouts of praise in our hearts, in our lives. We, for the whole of our experience as a church, some 2,000 years after the life of Christ, have been an Easter people. We know the rest of the story. We know the fullness of the story. We know the hope and the joy that is found and that is risen. And today, we take up that tell. We share with the world the hope and possibility that love wins, that life triumphs, that resurrection is possible, and that eternity is ours. So walk with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.